Beginning today a sermon series for the month of January. It's all on mourning the Georgia Bulldogs losing. No, I was kidding. I kid. No, I am beginning a sermon series, though, on attaching ourselves to God's holy word and some aspects of that that I think will be beneficial to you and to others that you may share with as well. All right, we got a couple going back for the nursery, and that's good if those that need or want to go to the nursery. All right. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Isaiah in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40. In verses 6 through 8. Isaiah chapter 40, in verses 6 through 8. You've already heard a little bit of this scripture already. A voice says, "Cry out," and I said, "What shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God stands forever." The word of God for the people of God. Amen. Let me also read to you, you don't have to follow along here, but just from John chapter 1 that speaks of the creation story repeated here again, but in a new way that connects us to Jesus. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men." And on a little bit, it says this: "The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God." Amen. We've begun a new year, haven't we? Today is January 5th. It's hard for me to believe. 2025. I remember thinking as a kid, when the year 2000 would come around, I'd be 32 years old. Well, in January 17th. Keith, we didn't have your name listed in the... What's your birth date? January 3rd, we'll be sure that gets in there. But I used to think, man, that's a long way off. I'll be old when I get that age. Now I think, man, how young 32 seems. If you're younger than 20, you don't understand that yet, okay? But this time of year, many people do this. We make New Year's resolutions, don't we? Some of us do. Some of us have done that for a number of years and said, quit doing it. Because most people, by the time the end of January comes, what happens to New Year's resolutions? They're gone. They're forgotten. Or for most people, I don't think they accomplish those New Year's resolutions in that time frame. And they could be over numerous things, ideas, thoughts, whatever. People do, and some people stick to them. Some people, but very few, stick to them for the months and years and the many multiple years going ahead. We need to know that life comes from God. The flower fades or falls, and the grass withers. But apart from God, we have no life. When we come to this time of new beginnings, we need to be thinking and connecting ourselves to the one who endures forever, the Word of God. Some of us need to hear that. Some of us are living that daily. Some of us know friends or family who need to hear that. To attach themselves to the Word of God that endures forever. And that Word, in reality, is Jesus. Jesus is the Word that endures forever. That's why we are told the story of Jesus being in the very beginning. He was a part of creation. He is God. And He has given His life for us that we might have life itself. So apart from God, we have no life. If we're living for the world, you are dead. If you're living for things that are not of God, a part of who we are and our identity as being children of God, we have no life in us. That doesn't mean you can't enjoy life. But it does mean that, are you enjoying life with God in it? And God directing your paths? And God directing your decision making? New beginnings are important. But in what is most important matters. But in what is important matters most. And that is in following and connecting and attaching ourselves to God. The definition of insanity is this. This definition is attributed to Einstein. But it's probably someone else and not Einstein himself. We tend to like to attach famous sayings to someone who's very smart or smarter than us. It somehow gives it more credence if we say, Einstein said this. You know, he's really smart, so it must make sense. But he's not really the person that was likely to say this, but it became attributed to him and done so in order to give it more weight. We do this to say, why not, you know, have smarter people give it credence and weight? So why not listen to God's holy word? He is the one with wisdom, far exceeding ours. He is the one with truth. Quit listening to the wisdom of man and listen to the wisdom of God. And do so, giving your heart unto Him. Insanity, here's the quote, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. So if things aren't going right in your world, in your life, you're feeling lost. You're feeling like, and wonderment. It's time for some change. Now, I know in many ways I'm speaking to the choir here. I'm considering you the choir. But I know that some of you, this might be significant for you. Or it may be very significant for family or friends or neighbors down the road, people that you meet and work with, and so on and so forth. So I'm not here pointing fingers, because I'm surely pointing a finger at myself. If we're living life that's on the world's basis and not on God's basis, not attaching ourselves to the Word of God for all that we do and say, and we must in that moment know that we do not do so perfectly, and we ask God's forgiveness, but we are positioned in a way that leads ourselves and lends ourselves to following and attaching ourselves to God's holy Word. I've watched the series Alone, a number of the seasons that Alone has, and this is, I think, filmed in Canada, and these people are dropped off by themselves. They are literally alone. They have a cell phone that's connected to the satellite cell phones that they can call if there's an emergency and they want to leave the game. They can do that. But outside of that, they're alone to fend for themselves and to take care of themselves with the items that they have. And one of the things that many of them get is a fishing net. And they'll attach it to a long branch. And they'll stick it out into the water. And I've noticed over the seasons that I've watched what some of these people do. If they don't catch any fish, and several days have gone by, and they've come and checked their nets, and there's no fish in their gill nets, do you know what they do? They change where their nets are. They move their nets. They do something differently because what is happening is not working. See, some people get caught up in the world, and we get caught up in the status that the world may give us. We get caught up in the lifestyle that the world may give us. We get caught up in the world's dealings, and what's happening is that we're not attaching ourselves to the one who gives us life. We're not attaching ourselves to the one that gives us, that endures forever, the Word of God, God Himself. You know, as we begin new beginnings, it's important that God gives us new beginnings, always. He's always encouraging us with new beginnings, forgiving us of our sins, trying to lead us down a great and wonderful path in Him. We need to attach ourselves to the one who endures forever, who does not fade away. In John chapter 1, it states that in no way does the human person do anything to earn our salvation. It says this, children born not of natural descent, so we're just not born into salvation, and attaching ourselves to the one who gives us life, or attaching the one to the Word of God, nor of human decision. Too often we like to say that we've made a decision to follow God. I understand that, but in no way have we purported and began the decision before God. It is God who gave us the opportunity to follow Him, to respond to Him. Or of a husband's will, being told by someone else, or a parent's will, in essence. We don't dictate to our children. But born of God, which means that we have received what He has given us. You know, if we give credence that we have somehow done something, then we have said that God has not completed it. It is His word that is complete and endures forever. And we attach ourselves to the one who gives us life and who does indeed endure forever. How does one build one's life? How do you build your life? How do you plan out your life? How do you build who you are? I encourage you, and as the Scripture encourages you, that we should attach ourselves to the one thing that endures forever, and that is the Word of God and God Himself. Now, that doesn't just happen like this, folks. And it's done and complete. In one sense, yes. But in another sense, it's an ongoing thing. Y'all remember when you were little, you got one of those little puzzles that had animals on it, and you had to put the puzzles in place, the puzzle pieces. The wood puzzles had about maybe 10 pieces. How long did it take you to put that puzzle together? Huh? You still working on it? Is that what you said? I'll ask you later now, Jimmy. And my mother-in-law, God bless her heart, gives us a puzzle every year at Christmas time to do. And thank God we did not pull this puzzle out this year. But I've got puzzles in my office that took us weeks to put together. Months. And they're like real intricate little things. And they take time. And hurt your eyesight. Well, there's this. I saw this puzzle. This wasn't given to us. 42,000 pieces, I believe. One puzzle, not puzzles and puzzle and puzzle. One puzzle probably stretches out from the bottom of these stairs to the back doors right here. And that wide. 42,000 little pieces like this. How long does it take to put a puzzle like that together? Forever. Well, it wasn't a lifetime, but you know, because they show them putting that last piece in. That would be my vision of something bad, okay? having to put a puzzle like that together. But it takes time. And the thing about it, to map something like that out, the beginning would be the slowest process, wouldn't it? So when we attach ourselves to the Word of God, folks, it's like that 42,000-piece puzzle. In one sense, we are close. But in another sense, we are putting our life together. We're putting our life together attached to the Word of God. And it's a lifetime process. Sometimes we let the world get in and sneak in and tell us other things matter more important to God. Sometimes we let accomplishments or trophies or ideas or whatever creep in. And we think those things are more important than God. A life apart from the one that endures forever is a life without meaning. our meaning and purpose and building our life will only matter if it is attached to the Word of God. I didn't hear an amen.
Amen.
I know I forced that. You were thinking it. That's good. No, I'm glad you said that. When does one stop or begin building one's life attached to Jesus? Sermon last week, Jesus was the 12-year-old boy who taught in the temple. And the people said they were amazed at his knowledge and the way he taught and the authority by which he taught. At 12 years old, that gives us an example. I had a course in seminary by Bishop Cannon. Some of you may have remembered him. He used to be the bishop of the North Georgia Conference long ago. very conservative gentleman and bishop. In one of the classes that I had with him, he shared a story that resonated with me about his call to ministry. He was sharing his testimony. Now, he wasn't sharing about his testimony about coming to Christ. He shared his testimony about when he heard the call to preach. Do you know how old he was? 5. So distinct and clear to him was the call to preach at 5 years old. I say that to say, you're never too young. And on the other side of that, you're never too old either. We don't get to a certain age and go, let me give up on life. And I'm not talking about life like we're living right now. I'm talking about life, which means the one that is enduring and the one that is connected to the Word of God. We don't give up on that. I saw a story several years ago, even since before I came to this church, and of a gentleman that was knew he had a disease of some sort, and he was in a country that allowed state-assisted suicide. And so he got through the state the means to be able to kind of humanely take him out of this world. And so on his first attempt, as they're videoing this documentary, he decides not to follow through on it. And I'm thinking, good. But a few weeks go by and they said he determined to go through on it. I was sad to hear that from the perspective of, you could see that this was a person that had given up on life, that was not attached to the one who endures forever. And all that time that he still had that could have been blessed, he had given up. I'm here to tell you, don't ever give up. God is pursuing you always. He's always forgiving you. He's always offering. He didn't die on the cross so that He could ignore you and forget you. He has given himself so that you could be tied to him, attached to him and his love and life forever and ever and ever. If we attach ourselves to the one who endures forever, then you are attaching yourself to life. Life which is purpose-filled. Life that has meaning. And we don't need to have our name published in the history books to have meaning, folks. There's people who have their names published in history books that are not attached to the one who endures forever. Those things are meaningless before God, no matter what our accomplishments or our trophies are. The only thing that is meaningful to God is our return of love to him, our return of thanks, our attaching ourselves to him and to life. The recent Paralympics, I guess now it's a couple of years ago, or whenever the last Olympics were, the Spanish runner, blind or somewhat blind, and required a tether runner to run with them and to guide her throughout the marathon. She was in third place crossing the finish line. This is a marathon. So about 2.5 hours have gone by running. 5.5 minutes a mile, basically. And here she goes crossing the finish line into third place, and she gives a celebration going across and releases the tether. The rules say that you must be attached to the tether at all times while running the race. And she was disqualified. That's the rules. Now, I'm sure she's protested it and argued or whatever. I don't know what the outcome has been for that. You can look it up. But you see, we are to be attached to the Word of God that endures forever, not on a temporary basis, not for just the month of January. Not because it's a new year, but to be attached to the Word of God that endures forever and ever and ever, and never let go of it. Never let go of Him. This is what God wants for us. He is the one who is alive and not dead. Some people will choose death, but God wants us to choose life. Some people that choose drugs, and they don't even know where they are and what's going on around them, and they're just slowly dying. But God wants us to choose life. Even in his death, was in order to give life, and not death, but life and life eternal. And with life comes fulfillment, in that we are living in and standing for the Word of God and with God and God with us. That we are choosing life and all the mundane activities that come with it, and treasure them more so than all the things that are worldly. All the other things in this world will fade away, and they will wither, but this is what will endure forever. Attaching yourself to life, attaching yourself to the Word of God. That's what will make our church flourish and thrive. That is what will make your family flourish and thrive. That is what will make you flourish and thrive. Not from a world's perspective, but from a relationship perspective between you and God. Leave it out, and you can gain the whole world, but you will have lost your soul. This is the good way to begin the new year. This is the good way to begin the new year. I gestured at Jimmy as well. This is the good way to begin the new year. It's not too late. You can begin to attach yourself or reattach yourself to the one who gives life and endures forever. The grass withers and the flowers fall. These are not my words, but the word of our God stands forever. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for all your people, your children gathered in this house this day. Bless each one. Help us and encourage us to daily attach ourselves to you and not to the world, but to you. Give us life in and through you, now and forever. Amen.